everyone, and welcome back to our Favorite Things podcast. My name is Tiesa, and I'll be your host for this lovely June episode, or whenever you're listening to it. Joining me as usual is my wonderful friend and co-host,
Mofi. Hi everyone, happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month. Yeah. We are back today with a highlights episode, and if you want to listen to any of our previous episodes, you can find them on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you listen to your podcasts. We're there at Our Favorite Things, and favorite is spelled with a U. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at Our Fave Pod, so you should stop by, say hi, share your thoughts on our episode, etc. Y'all, Mofi and I have actually been on the phone for like 2 hours now before we recorded this
episode. Bruh, you know that Mercury is in retrograde right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think that that really is what was happening with all of our tech issues. We were struggling.
Okay. Lots of things failing today, but we're here. We persevered, and we have an episode for y'all. So Mofi, how are you doing this week? How's your week been?
Guys, you know, I'm like, honestly hour here. Yeah. And honestly hour is a time where, like, what I've coined, I do this with someone, with my love. I do this where, like, honestly hour is where, like, you know, all guards are down. Like, just listen to what person has to say. Like, you know, the point is to, like, just hear the truth, and, like, so that it gives people space to just feel free, you know, without having to, like, think about what this other person might feel or whatever. It's like, I'm just trying to be like 100. So honestly hour up in here.
Have a question. In during honesty hour, mm-hmm. just to clarify, are there also, like, boundaries on, like, how you can talk? Because sometimes, you know, when you're being honest, right, people tend to just come at you, you know, and yes, you're being honest and it's the truth, but the way that you phrase it might also be problematic.
Yeah.
We don't have to go into this.
Everybody, come up with your boundaries. But yes, I think it's about, like, care, and it's also an intention to, like, put it with, like, you know, produce this thing with care. Like, this is a caring space. It's so that's our intention when we come into that space. So, like, in this moment, like, honestly, I'm so burnt out. Like, showing up for this podcast and even today has just been, like, a miracle in many ways. I am beyond exhausted. And, like, you know, when you hear people, a lot of people say, like, burnout. And I think because, like, many people are burnt out actually in how we exist in this world. And at the same time, like, burnout is this, like, deep, like, mental, emotional, and physical, like, tiredness. Like, you are exhausted and sometimes just not able to, like, do things, like, even to stand up sometimes my legs hurt so much. That's how tired I feel. Mixed with, like, just dealing with so much anxiety, that this week has just been a lot for me. So that's how I'm doing. I'm struggling and like making it through. If I shower honestly in a day, that's like a win. If I eat a meal, is like great. So that's how I'm doing. And, like, you know, as for you, there's just so much happening in the world as well that just contributes to all of the things.
Sending you love, baby girl.
Thank you.
Also Mofi some love, and also sending out love to anyone who's feeling super burnt, feeling burnt out. It's the worst, you know, exactly how Mofi described it, just this feeling of physical and mental exhaustion that, like, you feel like you really incapable of doing anything. It's terrible. Hugs, mama.
Thank you, boo. How about you? I've been seeing you all up on the social media. You look like you're living your best life.
Meanwhile, I was coming here to say I'm exhausted.
This is why, guys, Instagram and
social media is a lie. It's not a lie, but it's like a, you know, it's not like current reality sometimes, right? Like, right. I was posting this like series from my time in Miami, and I look so happy and carefree, and I was, except like in those days, like that I was posting, you know, that's 5 minutes I take to post, and then I go back to work and I'm so tired, right? Like, I've been struggling with focus this week, like at work, and then as Mofi also mentioned, like just so much going on in the world. Like, you open the news and it's just so disheartening, it's so sickening, it's so draining emotionally to just read and hear about all of these things that are going, all of the things that are going on. Yeah, so I am feeling exhausted. I'm feeling exhausted. Let me just share with the people, since it's honesty hour, I took a really bad fall down my staircase recently, and it's just my body is sore. I'm not sure whether or not I have a concussion. It's not funny. I'm stressed. I'm probably going to go seek medical attention.
Yeah.
Don't worry. But yeah, I think it's contributing to my inability to just focus and just, yeah.
I can see that. Yes, yeah. You all sent Tessa some love. I think just send Afif for some love. I just put my begging. We're like, please, we need help.
Oh, I'm pleading. But yeah, there's so much going on in the world. I mean, like, just look at the news that came out from Canada, right? Of the Kamloops Residential School and the remains of the 215. That number, honestly, one, of course, is, there shouldn't even be one. But the fact that there are remains of 215 children found on the grounds of a school is just harrowing. And so just for some context, y'all, so there was this investigation, right, being conducted.
Trigger. Warning.
Yes, I'm so sorry. Trigger warning. Thank you, Mofi. Trigger warning. You can pause here. We'll be covering sensitive topics, death and violence. So if you'd like to skip ahead, and genocide, if you'd like to skip ahead, I think maybe in the next like 10 minutes or so. Yes. Thank you for that, babes. Yeah, so there's this, the investigation was conducted by the Tkamloops and the Tsekwepa First Nation into this residential school, right, in outside of British Columbia. And so these schools used to exist in Canada, right, like in the 1800s to like early 90s, and they were really a ground for abuse of Indigenous children, and these children would be separated from their families, taken to these schools, and just be subjected to all sorts of neglect and abuse in Canada. And it's just sickening that the school was also a burial ground for these children. And yeah, I just want to take a moment, honestly, for that. We should not be reading things like this in the news. This is sickening. Shame on Canada, shame on the Roman Catholic Church that that helped to perpetrate this violence. It's just sick. It's just sick. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow. They're so undeserving, of that. Their families are so undeserving. No one should be treated in this way. No one. Yeah.
Yeah. And communities, and you know, all of the impacts of residential schools, you know, the things that followed even after residential schools, like all of that impact people
today.
You know, it's not that far. I think The last residential school in Canada closed actually, I think, in 1996.
96. Like, what is that? So, that's just barely 20 something years ago.
Yeah, many of us were born then. So like take that in. And I think that, you know, as you said, shame on Canada, this nation state, because like that's what has, like, Canada is built on this violence, legit. Like, this whole niceness of Canada, this whole like multiculturalism, we accept everybody of this country, is legit built on the genocide and on the violence of Indigenous people. This history, I'm just like, this record, and it's not as if this is just now that people are talking about it, you know, it's not new. Mm-mm. And at the same time, I think this was in some ways, like, for many Indigenous folks, you know, it's just like that confirmation, like something you've always known. And to see it validated is so hurtful as well.
It's so painful.
You know, and this country, the people of this country have been living here, going through their histories, going through their day-to-day lives. Canadians, like white settler Canadians, have adopted this notion that this country is very welcoming and open and forgiving on the bodies and on the grounds of Indigenous peoples and communities. Mm-hmm. It's very disappointing. And I mean, in Canada, there's the call to truth and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. You know, there are many other documents. There's the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls document that, like, so many young and so many girls and women get missing and nothing happens in this country. So there's so much out there for folks to get acquainted with and read. But this is the truth of Canada, and I think, like, I know that there's going to continue to be a reckoning. I think that that's the time that we are in right now. Like, this is the history, and it's not just gonna, I think, with so many things are going to continue to be uncovered. And it's going to hurt many, many communities, because, like, but I think that, like, we're within moments where, like, it's enough. Like, enough is enough.
Yeah. It's really sad. It's really sickening. I think the investigation is ongoing. And unfortunately, right, they're estimating that they might find more bodies. And I don't know, it's too much. It's too much. Mm-hmm. It's just so much hurt. It's so much hurt.
Yeah. Yep. And at the same time, the Canadian government, the Liberal government, is blocking, like, in courts, blocking folks when they're seeking out to get more information, when they're seeking for reparations, I guess. Like, you know, they're blocking every act. So, like, honestly, anyways, don't let me curse Canadian government on this podcast right now, but like Trudeau, yo, because Trudeau will be tweeting being like, oh, we're here for you, but it's like, that's not what people are asking for.
Right, like, are you addressing what people are asking for? Because that, at the end of the day, that's what's important. Are you listening to people? Are you hearing them? Are your actions proving that you're listening to them? That's what's important. Like, leave all this talking on Twitter and
literally,
you know, empathizing and all of this one, like, okay, but then when it comes down to it, when it comes down to the laws, when it comes down to the actions, what are you doing?
Literally,
what are you doing?
So so on like, in thinking about Canada and things that are happening on these lands, on these unceded territories, mm-hmm. you know, is white supremacy. It's the fact that a family cannot go out walking. Yeah. It's the fact that, like, walking while Muslim means that you get killed.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of days ago in London, Ontario, I think we are in June. A family of five people were out on a walk, and they got killed by a driver, this white man, 20-year-old white boy, I don't know his name. And four people out of the five of them died, you know, and the investigations and all of the findings have indicated that it was due to Islamophobia because they're Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, it's also like, it's something that's, it's just, it's so disheartening. It's almost even hard to think about and process, because we know like all these hate crimes happen, and that's what's annoying, because you know people would be like, this is not our whatever, it's not our Canada, or like people would come out and show up for a vigil, and it's great, like come out for a vigil, but what's happening on a day-to-day where people are being harassed, where people are being verbally abused, physically abused,
when you're interrupting that,
when your policies are hella Islamophobic, when like whatever, it just goes on and on. Like what's happening there? Because like this country, that there's been countless instances of how anti-Muslim hate and the hate of Muslims and is just so prevalent. It's just really disheartening.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel you. I just to not be able to do something, to turn something as mundane as walking in your neighborhood or wherever to like being at risk for murder, to being at like how as human beings are we living okay, like with that being okay, like how do we continue to, why do we continue to live like that? That because of people's beliefs, like allow human beings to live, okay, and live your own life. Don't nobody care with what you agree with or don't agree with. Like nobody cares. Leave people alone. That family should have been able to go where they were going and gone back to their house. Like, they should have been able to go where they were going.
Yep. And this is the truth. This is where people say, like, and people will be like, oh, whatever, cities are not racist, whatever. But it's true. Like, there's things that have led up to London, Ontario, is an incredibly racist city. Like, even as somebody that lives in Kingston, walking is not the most exciting activity for me to do, because I am terrified that somebody is going to, and this has been a fear that I've had, like, since I moved to Kingston, so it's not even, it feels like an irrational fear, and you see things happen, and you're like, yeah, this is why, like, it's not irrational, because it's true, because, like, you've experienced, like, it's not, like, it could be, like, the experience of different forms of racism feel as pervasive as every, you know, like it's just so scary that what can be an extreme thought. I know when I was dating this white guy, and I would say I'm scared of this, or I don't know, there was something that seemed so irrational that I was scared of. I think I was talking about crossing the street or something, he couldn't understand what I was talking about, and kind of was like, oh yeah, Mofi, obviously, like, you know, you blow things out of proportion. But it's like, no, because there are people out here that walk into churches, that walk into schools, that, like, you know, drive people, like, you know, that like you're in the most mundane place, you're doing mundane, the most random activity,
things,
and people are out here because they've been told that they're the most supreme being, and race and gender and sexuality, because in this same country, again, a gay man was beaten that he had to go to the hospital in freaking Toronto.
So and you say that Toronto is inclusive now and all the above.
It's just like, it's just the reality that as your identities continue to be marginalized, you're not safe. Like, there's like literally no, like, there's nowhere that is safe for you at all. at all.
No.
In this world. So.
No. No.
So speaking of, sorry, I know it's a lot of information, but it's just like everything is just in my mind so connected. Because yeah, I'm just thinking about lack of safety and, you know, talking about queer folks and thinking mm-hmm. about what happens at home, at many of in Africa, at least right now. I know that as we've seen, even in freaking Canada, like
Canada, there's still right.
queer phobia and homophobia. Right. It is a system. But even thinking about what was happening in Ghana and in Uganda. So in Ghana, 21 people were gathering to learn about rights, to learn about mm-hmm. their human rights mm-hmm. As human beings in this world. And they were arrested. It was in Ho. Mm-hmm. And they were arrested. This was on May 20th, 2021. Because they were promoting the LGBTQ agenda.
Agenda. Ooh. Scary.
Yeah. And for a really long time, their bill was denied. I think they appeared about four times or so in mm-hmm. court. And I think just today or so, I believe that they finally, I think it was today, they've been granted bail. And it's impossible to it's just awful, it's really 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 awful to criminalize people's existence again and for people and people sitting and learning about their rights or even just about anything mm-hmm. they get arrested and they spend 21 days in custody without bail, without trial, without
That is what is unlawful. That is what is unlawful. That is what is not right. Like, somebody arrest the people who were arrested doing the arresting, because there you have committed a crime. You can't hold people for that. You can't do that. Like, you can't do that. You cannot just decide to make up a reason to arrest people for what? Promoting an LGBTQ agenda. What does that even mean? What does that mean, Mofi? What does that mean? They claim it was unlawful assembly. Sorry, people don't have the right to freely assemble, to freely gather in Ghana. Is that something in the Ghanaian constitution that like we should know about?
Only if you're queer.
Only
and probably poor at a sex worker or something, but it's really really and even if Bill and you know from reading this and just thinking about like jail and prison mm-hmm. and how oppressive mm-hmm. those spaces are mm-hmm. and these people, these queer folks have to be there, and I can't imagine what they have what they've had to experience. Like that, what would justice look like to defile a human life like that?
Yeah.
Because of what? Because of your hate and your fear and your disregard for life.
Right.
It blows my mind. And you know, in Uganda as well, 44 people were arrested at a LGBTQ shelter. And it's like, do you guys who has told you that you have authority over people's lives, that you have power over people's rights to exist, over people just living and trying to survive? Because all of this, a common thread is that people were just sort of looking for ways that they needed to survive in a country that is already oppressing their existence. And we just continue to see this over and over again. So as we celebrate Pride Month and as we're in Pride, it's just so it's a month where I feel so excited. There's so much mm-hmm. joy and there's so much mm-hmm. pride, really. Yes. And at the same time, it's like, this is why pride existed, because the existence of you as a queer person, as a trans person, is criminalized and just denies you your basic rights.
Yeah. My heart just goes out to all the queer folk in Ghana and in Uganda. And I'm just so sick of these governments that just continue to act with impunity, like, and people have to suffer for it. People have to suffer because of their actions. They're literally making life untenable for their own citizens.
Yeah. Intentionally.
Intentionally. Intentionally. Another, and as you keep saying, like, these things are connected, right? Like, let's just not even look at the country we come from, supposedly. Nigeria. That country's goal in life is to make the country unlivable.
To frustrate the people, literally.
Wow, it was funny enough, honestly, that we started seeing all this about, like, Nigeria being renamed to United African Republic, and that was all banter, and it was whatever, it was funny. And then, is it a few days after, or please guys forgive me because I'll be coming on Twitter sporadically, or maybe a week after, the Nigerian government is saying that Twitter is banned. They announced it on Twitter, okay? They gave the announcement on Twitter to say that Twitter has been banned. Why? Because the platform took down a tweet that Buhari tweeted. And this is the tweet, y'all.
No,
many of those misbehaving today, oh gosh, you can just imagine the high-handedness and just like arrogance that this tweet was written with. Many of those misbehaving today are too young to be aware of the destruction and loss of lives that occurred during the Nigerian Civil War. Those who went through the war will treat them in the language that they understand. Sorry, who are you threatening?
Who are you threatening?
Like, who are you threatening? And why does this guy come? This is not the first time he's putting up a threat.
No, he's not.
He did it during the NSAS protest as well. He puts up a threatening tweet. And Twitter, of course, seeing that this tweet violates their regulations, like, it violates Twitter's regulations, took the tweet down. And the government said, I bet no Nigerian can use Twitter again. I'm sorry, what? Like, what? Talking about people are using Twitter to is an agenda against Nigeria.
Yeah.
No, the Nigerian government is an agenda against Nigerian citizens.
Period.
Like that's what's going on. But I'm just like, so I was reading the comments of like the post that Republic Journal puts on up of this, and someone was saying how they are happy that the Nigerian government banned Twitter because Twitter is, you know, acting reckless, basically. I'm not saying the exact words. Twitter is like moving mad, like even deleting Donald Trump's tweets was a lot. Also because it, like, you know, infringes upon like rights of freedom of speech. And I've been thinking about this, and personally I don't agree, but I want to know what you think about platforms being able to take down tweets that they deem to violate their rules and regulations. Like, should they be able to take down tweets, basically?
See, these platforms are private entities, period. Like, this is not your government's constitution. Like, literally, that's the only thing I have to say to it. Like, okay, like, people think Twitter is this, like, public, like, you know, we all came out, we created it. It's like, no, it's a private thing. They have terms and conditions. If you're promoting violence and genocide and harm, like, yes, please take it down. If you're instigating harm, which is Donald Trump as
Donald
well,
Trump,
please take it down. It's interesting, though. What I would say is that I feel like Twitter, they're not consistent to me, because there's so much people that say so much shit. Like, on that app, and I'm like, this needs to be taken down. This needs to be taken down. Why is this still here? You know? So on some levels, I'm like, something is suspicious to me. I don't trust it. I don't trust that Twitter is out here doing some, like, you know, the biggest moral good for Nigeria. In Nigeria. There's a benefit to it. This is my conspiracy theory. I don't know. We're about to go into elections. I don't know if you watch this. There's a documentary. I think it's, I don't know what it's called now anymore. Came out a year ago. Just talking about the role of social media and in creating like this. I'm trying to find the word, but in creating so much tension in countries, even around voting periods. So I'm looking at it with some side eye.
Yeah. Conspiracy.
But at the same time, that's my point. Like, this is not your daddy's house.
Exactly. So for me, that's I'm like, how can people stand by this? You're saying, oh, Facebook, where will they draw the line? Okay, so it's the same kind of thing. So you're worried about where Facebook draws the line, but you're not worried about where people who only have hate speech to spew, you're not worried about where they draw the line.
Exactly.
You know, it was like, I saw this tweet one time, where this girl was talking about how, you know, somebody like grabbed her, a guy like grabbed her in the club, or I think he grabbed her bum or something, and she turned around and I think she like hit him, and people were more shocked. Everybody was shocked that she hit him and not that he harassed her, like he sexually harassed her.
Right.
It's like, what are we putting our focus on? You know, you're basically saying that people should not be able to retaliate when they're attacked.
Yeah, or there's no consequences for your actions.
And so for me, I 100% agree. These are private entities. They have rules and regulations. If President Buhari does not want to be on Twitter, he can continue announcing things on the radio or however he does his nonsense. Like
what he did at Arise News. Anyways.
You know, like, please, I don't want to hear it. So it's just unfortunate though, because like, of course, a lot of businesses function on Twitter, things like that. And they've now gone to go and say that you can arrest people who are using Twitter, which I'm just like.
See, the country is a mess. It's so unfair. The
country is such a mess.
The truth is that it's unfair because like it affects so many people. Millions of Nigerians have to deal with like this state.
Yeah,
you know, and a government that does not, like, literally the government feels like it not feels, actually the government operates anti the people. You know, so like, how, like, it's just it impacts well-being, it impacts so many things, like just basic standard of living,
right.
So
what an absolutely horrible place. Anyway, I would like to talk about happier things.
Yes, let's like take a breather, like collective like breath out. Breath.
I had to actually do it. Let's talk about our highlights, Sophie. I have happy things to share. Happy things to share.
That's exciting.
I mean, I don't have many happy things to share. You know, it's like two things. But it's happening.
Your highlights are two. You have two highlights.
Yeah, but they're two like, you know, good highlights. Shut up.
Okay.
Do your highlights first.
All right, girl. First of all, Canada today apparently is officially like semi-open, like you can sit on patios open, where countries are like having concerts and things for like the access on patios. But you know what, I'm right here.
Like restaurant patios or your house patio?
Okay. Restaurant patios, and you can you can still do like picnics and shit like that. I'm bored of all of that, but they're open. I'm just getting vaccinated on Monday as well, so that is indeed a highlight. We bless God and the province of Ontario. Thank you. Thanks.
And you don't know what shot you're getting yet, right?
Okay. Yeah. Don't know. Find out. But I think from the place I'm getting it from, I've had friends that got it there and they say that it's probably the Pfizer.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Yeah, elite. I'm kidding, guys. Please just take that available to you.
Yes, I'm tired of the jokes. Initially, I was on board, and now I'm like, okay, these jokes are tired.
It's so inaccessible that if you just have access, like, please just go ahead and take what's available to you. That's my public health PSA for today.
Yes. Okay, let me talk about some things that have been making me truly, truly happy. I've been watching TV. Well, there's two particular TV shows that have been making me happy. First of all, is watching Legendary. So Legendary is an HBO show about mm-hmm. it's a ballroom competition show. So there are houses that perform each week at the ball. You know, the balls are themed, and they perform for they perform to be the superior house. So each week mm-hmm. there's a superior house, and I think they win money, or at the end the most superior house wins money. And I love it. It's just so much fun. Initially, when it came out, season one, it was like, okay. And it was obviously very controversial, still controversial, because the judges, all of them are not representative of the queer and trans community. People were like, why? There's so many other people that could be judging. Mm-hmm. Because there's like Meg Thee Stallion, there's
Jamil,
and then there's Law Roach, who like Law mm-hmm. is good on the show, and then there's Leomi, who's also like a ballroom like icon, like and stuff like that. So both of them represent, but like people are like, why is Meg Thee Stallion and Jamila?
Like, when I saw her, I was like, who accepted her to this panel?
You know,
I just heard that she said some, you know, controversial stuff, but anyway.
Yeah, but this season is so cool. It's better than the first season to me. Like the last mm-hmm. season, there was also more like white and more like cis and maybe even straight folks in houses, mm-hmm. but this mm-hmm. this year it seems to be very centered, like very like black and trans as well. Mm-hmm. So it's so cool. I don't know. It just really, really makes me happy seeing queer folks just live and perform and mm-hmm. you know, have you gagging and everything is just so joy. It brings me so much joy. So I've been watching Legendary.
I've saved it on my HBO because that's how I know who's on the who are the judges. I have yet to watch it, but I will. And I will start from season two.
Just watch the whole thing.
You've kind of not made me want to watch.
Oh wow, I shouldn't have said that then. Sorry.
I was like, oh, I'm gonna start from season two.
Anyways, if you watch season two and then you're like, I need more, then maybe you can go back and watch season one. Whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So it's Legendary, and then I was also watching Pose. And it was the series finale, which is so sad. Like, why are the best shows coming to an end? But I love me.
Ones.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Like, I want to see more stories out there about queer and trans folks, queer and trans mm-hmm. youth. Mm-hmm. But love Pose. Like, Pose was just amazing. The series finale was okay, but it was, well, I guess I shouldn't be saying these things.
You really shouldn't be saying these things.
No, but the show is amazing. Like, I feel like, yo, like, it's a time. Like, we're in the time where, like, I think it's relevant to be watching Pose to, like, you know, be connected and just, like, live your, like, just enjoy yourself in watching, like, family and community mm-hmm. and, you know, chosen family that stick up and take care of one another. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So that has been bringing me joy. I really want to learn how to Vogue. I'm like, how can I go for a Voguing, like, dance class or something? So if people out here listening, please come and teach me. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. Girl, go do your homework.
Bruh.
People teach us on the internet.
I just want somebody to teach me for free.
Go find a class.
Yeah. There's no Vogue in here, Sha. So I guess I'll have to watch it on YouTube because I don't think the queers, I don't know what the queers in Kingston are up to because they're probably just white folks. Anyways. Speaking of the queers, somebody that has been giving me life is Niecy Nash.
Niecy.
Like, she is living her best life.
I swear.
My good sis is like her I look at her, I watch her videos, and like the joy is contagious. I'm like, get your life, sis, get that love. Like, wow.
I'm just like, this is how it should be. Like, just live and be happy and love, and everybody else mind your business.
Everybody mind your business. Like, don't nobody give.
Don't nobody care. Scurry on. We don't care.
I'm so happy. Aww. It's so sweet. They just look so sweet. Yeah, I love to see it. And wrapping up, I didn't notice that all of my highlights were like pride themed. Hey, rainbow, rainbow all over these freaking highlights, bro.
Why is this girl Chelsea?
Sorry, I just
got reduce your volume, please.
I just got excited. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that it was all a theme, but I feel so proud. Like my heart, my rainbow heart.
You're
like
proud happy. Of yourself.
I'm proud of myself. Because to wrap it all up is obviously, I think, the god right now of Akwa Ike. They have dropped their most recent book, Dear Centurion. And Jesus looked at me like, let me see that pronunciation. Guys, been trying, oh. I go back and watch that video and be like, Centurion. Mm-hmm, getting there.
Yeah.
So the book is out. I'm so hyped. My girls got it for me as a little like gift because I was nominated for a teaching award. Did I tell you this?
Excuse me?
Well, fuck, I didn't tell you.
This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. These are the things that ruin friendships. And I'm smiling, but I'm serious.
Oh my God.
How am I finding out on the podcast that you were nominated for a teaching award?
Girl, life has been going on, yo. Oh, I'm sorry.
Congratulations, my love. Yeah. I mean, I'm upset, but like, I'm happier for you than I am upset.
Yeah, okay. I feel for exclusive.
Exclusive, they're fighting.
Oh my gosh.
But no, that's amazing. Who nominates you?
I was nominated by the students, so the graduating class. For one of their babies. Yeah, they pick like, I guess they nominated a couple of professors that have like impacted their learning or something. It was pretty cool. I should not be the way I'm thinking, like, it sounds like I'm clowning it, but it was like a legit, like, you know, a teacher, like somebody's teaching that has really like influenced you or whatever. And it was such a pleasant surprise. I was not anticipating it. I was not expecting it. You know, it's my first year in teaching, so to see some sort of a return that the students, and I only taught a handful of them because this was my first year teaching, so to see such a return and the students like are valuing my work, and just to even say, like, particularly as a Black woman in this space, in a freaking like white ass like business program, I felt really honored and just like affirmed. So
I'm proud of you. I mean, I felt proud of you when you were starting teaching, but this is really nice.
Thank you. In all the queer glory, that's all of my highlights for today.
Because I'm like smiling. Okay.
See, wow. She's smiling. This is why Tessa is my homie for life, because look, she's already smiling.
Uh-oh. Okay, you're trying to win me back. No, I'm still upset. I only take forgiveness in money, please. Cash. Thank you. Yes, dear. All right, well, my highlights was making me happy. Well, I was telling Mofi before this call, I am looking forward to an eventful summer of family visits, friend visits. Wow, one friend has abandoned me.
Meta was family, Sha.
Fine, one family member has abandoned me. What do you think is going to change? But yeah, so I'm just having like, my sister is coming in a few weeks. My cousins are going to be visiting from Ghana. Friends are coming to stay at the house. It's just going to be a very eventful summer. And after taking a year off, we are relaunching our house party. Oh. It was very stressful the year that we did it, in terms of, like, it took a lot to plan and we had a lot of people at the house. And it took, like, the entire weekend to recover. But we are back again for the house party. So if you live in Oakland and you're listening, expect your invites.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, how are you feeling?
Well, if I will not live in Oakland.
Okay, cool. Yes. Be inviting your friend. Yes. What?
There's some friend stealers on this podcast. Guys, don't share your friends. No, please share your
People are actually genuinely worried about sharing their friends, though. Like,
I'm like, please share your friends so that your friends have, like, networks, you know?
Yeah, share the love. You never know. Like, you just never know. You just never know. So that they have it. Yeah, exactly. Network. Yeah, you said it. You said it best. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Last summer was, it was good, but it, you know, it definitely started out quite sad. So I'm looking forward to a more, like, happy summer this year. So yeah.
You deserve.
Amen. Thank you. But yes, I agree. I think it will be nice. My second highlight. So I'm going to share this with the people. I entered this competition on Airbnb.
Okay.
And if y'all are interested, you should go check it out on Airbnb's page. Although I don't know if I should tell you, because then you probably reduce my chances. Well, anyway. No, but it's like they read through your essays and choose. So if I don't get it, because they didn't choose my essay, right? Not because there are too many people. But anyway, Airbnb is doing this thing where they will pick 12 people who will get to live exclusively in Airbnb listings for an entire year. So yesterday someone asked me, like, do they all live together? And I was like, oh, that's a good question, but no. It's just like you. Yeah, she was like, is it a reality show? Like, you guys all get to live together. I was like, no, please, I'm not signing up for some Airbnb version of The Bachelor. Of course you think it's cool. Oh God, you're like,
yes. Imagine if that's what happens, though. Like, you don't know you're signing up and they surprise you.
I run. But yeah, no, but basically it's like an Airbnb initiative to see, obviously it's all like feeding, you know, Airbnb in terms of, like, to help them be more efficient and of course make more money. But you win from me because, like, you basically get to work and live, like, almost anywhere in the world. So they have, like, you know, Airbnb listings all over the place. So if you win, then you can decide, I think starting in July of 2000 of this year, you can decide, okay, so from July to August I want to live in Toronto, and then from September to November you want to live in Italy or something.
Oh, wow.
It's just, yeah, it's
would they buy your plane tickets?
They pay for everything.
Wow.
Yes. Everything is so exciting. I'm so excited by it. Like, at first I didn't want to do it because I was like, I have a lease, like I have a home. I'll figure that out later. I was not going to, like, pass up on this opportunity. So it's really cool. And if y'all know anything about me, I'm all for 100% working remotely. You know, my commute used to be 1 hour into the office. I don't think there's any need for that. I can do my work from home, and I can definitely do my work from a beach in Mexico. Okay. Anyway, so all that to say that I'm very excited. Y'all keep your fingers crossed for me. Hopefully they choose me as one of 12 out of the millions of people who probably apply. I'm excited, but I'm nervous, obviously.
I love it. I love, like, and it's about putting yourself out there and be willing to, like, accept these types of opportunities. And, you know, the more you do it and believe that, you know, you can do it, it will come to you.
Exactly. So. Exactly. That is it. 2021 and hopefully beyond is my year of just putting myself out there. whether I think, whether I get no, whether I get, you know, the point is that I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
The more you do it, the more you'll do it. I stole that from somewhere, probably. But yeah, okay. So
wow. I love that for you, TSM. I'm so proud of you. You've come a long way to this point, and I love to see it. I love to see you thrive. And you all should follow her on TikTok. I think she's on TikTok. She's on the apps.
I'm on the socials.
She's on the social.
I'll add this to my outro today. My TikTok. Hey. Y'all shout out to Mofi, my manager of sorts, honestly.
You need to get paid. So when they're telling you to fly to Italy, please come and take me.
You need money. Oh my God. I keep telling people that help me out, like in different things. Like even if you're just looking for a picture or reading a blog post, I'm like, one day I will pay you. Well, that day,
yes.
Thank you for your help. But yeah, okay. So the last thing making me happy is actually TV. I forgot. So many good shows coming out or already out. Did you ever watch Lupin? I told you to watch Lupin.
It was very actiony.
Yeah, I thought you kind of liked action.
I like it, but sometimes
edit that part out. So Lupin Part 2 is back. You know, for all the Lupin fans, you know, they left us on Kanga, you know, okay. Season 1. So Part 2 is back. What do you call it? What was the last thing? The next thing I was going to say? Oh my God, totally forgot. It's another show on Netflix. I'm sorry, guys, I forgot. But I've also been watching The Nanny on HBO. It's this show from like the 90s, from the early 90s. Keep that in mind while you're watching it, because early 90s shows had some problematic things in them. But it was quite good, and I have been binging it. So yeah, if you have HBO, check out The Nanny. It's really good.
Nanny. Awesome.
Yeah, okay. Those are my highlights, babes.
Me too. I have nothing else to add for the people.
Okay.
Everybody just take care of yourself. Enjoy when you can or how you can. Mm-hmm. Because it's really tough out here. Just sending good vibes, good energy, and you know. Yeah, just whatever you need to do is valid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like extremely hurt.
You know, don't hurt like, or other people.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. We really like appreciate your listening. And so if you've made it out this far, thank you. We're still running our book club, our fave reads. So we have one episode out. We talked about Angela Davis's Women, Race, and Class. It was a really good episode. And we recorded it, but it was quite good. So you should go listen to it. We'll have another one out this month, and we'll be releasing what book we're reading, because we do have to change the book for June. So we'll let you guys know what book we choose for June. We'll let you all know. And if you want to keep up with our episodes, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. We're there at Our Fave Pods. We'd also love for you all to subscribe to us on Spotify. I think you can subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So you get our episodes when we release them. It's also free to subscribe. And yeah, Mofi, where can everybody find you?
Y'all can find me on Twitter. I'm a Miss Badmus, and same on Instagram and at Mofi's Book Collection.
Where she shares all things books. And y'all can find me on TikTok. That's the first one. I think you already mentioned it. I think my TikTok is still TIIESE. Same thing on Instagram and Twitter. And also follow my travel blog, samefootprints.com. Until next time, y'all, stay safe and don't forget to find something to be grateful for.
Bye.